Chapter 13. Carry it into the city with me, where I go to dine, and put it into the post office with my own fair hands. So, let me see whether I have any news to tell MD. They say they will very soon make some inquiries into the corruptions of the late ministry, and they must do it to justify their turning them out. Atterbury, 21, we think, is to be Dean of Christ Church in Oxford. But the college would rather have Smellridge. What's all this to you? What care you for Atterbury's and Smellridge's? No, you care for nothing but presto, faith. So I will rise and bid you farewell. Yet I am loth to do so, because there is a great bit of paper yet to talk upon. But Dingley will have it so. S, says she, make your journals shorter, and send them oftener. And so I will. And I have cheated you another way too. For this is clipped paper, and holds at least 6 lines less than the former ones. I will tell you a good thing I said to my Lord Carteret. 22, oh, says he, my Lord came up to me, and asked me, etc. Oh, said I, my Lord never did, nor ever can come up to you. We all pun here sometimes. Lord Carteret sat down Prior t'other day in his chariot, and Prior thanked him for his charity. That was fit for Dilly. 23, I do not remember I heard one good one from the ministry, which is really a shame. Henley is gone to the country for Christmas. The puppy comes here without his wife. 24, and keeps no house, and would have me dine with him at eating houses. But I have only done it once, and will do it no more. He had not seen me for some time in the coffee house, and asking after me, desired Lord Herbert to tell me I was a beast forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Did you ever read the scripture? 25, it is only changing the word priest to beast. I think I am bewitched, to write so much in a morning to you, little MD. Let me go, will you? And I'll come again tonight in a fine clean sheet of paper, but I can, nor will stay no longer now. No, I won't, for all your wheedling. No, no, look off, do not smile at me, and say, pray, pray, presto, write a little more. Ah, you are a wheedling slut, you be so. Nay, but prithee turn about, and let me go, do, 'tis a good girl, and do. Oh, faith, my morning candle is just out, and I must go now in spite of my teeth. For my bedchamber is dark with curtains, and I am at the wrong side. So farewell, etc., etc., I am in the dark almost. I must have another candle, when I am up, to seal this. But I will fold it up in the dark, and make what you can of this, for I can only see this paper I am writing upon. Service to Mrs. Walls and Mrs. Stoit. God Almighty bless you, etc. What I am doing I can't see. But I will fold it up, and not look on it again. Letter 13. London, January 4, 1710-11. I was going into the city where I dined, and put my 12th, with my own fair hands, into the post office as I came back, which was not till 9 this night. I dined with people that you never heard of, nor is it worth your while to know, an authoress and a printer. 1. I walked home for exercise, and at 11 got to bed, and, all the while I was undressing myself, there was I speaking monkey things in air, just as if MD had been by, and did not recollect myself till I got into bed. I writ last night to the Archbishop, and told him the warrant was drawn for the first fruits, and I told him Lord Peterborough was set out for his journey to Vienna. But it seems the lords have addressed to have him stay, to be examined about Spanish affairs, upon this defeat there, and to know where the fault lay, etc. So I writ to the Archbishop a lie, but I think it was not a sin. 5. Mr. Secretary St. John sent for me this morning so early, that I was forced to go without shaving, which put me quite out of method. I called at Mr. Ford's, and desired him to lend me a shaving, and so made a shift, to get into order again. Lord, here is an impertinence. Sir Andrew Fountain's mother and sister, too, are come above 100 miles, from Worcester, to see him before he died. They got here but yesterday, and he must have been past hopes, or past fears, before they could reach him. I fell a scolding when I heard they were coming, and the people about him wondered at me, and said what a mighty content it would be on both sides, to die when they were with him. I knew the mother, she is the greatest overdue three upon earth, and the sister, they say, is worse, the poor man will relapse again among them. Here was the scoundrel brother always crying in the outer room till Sir Andrew was in danger, and the dog was to have all his estate if he died, and it is an ignorant, worthless, scoundrel rake. And the nurses were comforting him, and desiring he would not take on so. I dined today the first time with Offie Butler IV and his wife, and you supped with the dean, and lost 2.20 at cards. And so Mrs. Walls is brought to bed of a girl, who died 2 days after it was christened. And, betwixt you and me, she is not very sorry. She loves her ease and diversions too well, to be troubled with children. I will go to bed. 6. Morning. I went last night, to put some coals on my fire after Patrick was gone to bed, and there I saw in a closet a poor linnet he has bought to bring over to Dingley. It cost him 6d, and is as tame as a dormouse. I believe he does not know he is a bird. Where you put him, there he stands, and seems to have neither hope nor fear. I suppose in a week he will die of the spleen. Patrick advised with me, before he bought him. I laid fairly before him the greatness of the sum, and the rashness of the attempt, showed how impossible it was to carry him safe over the salt sea. But he would not take my counsel, and he will repent it. 'Tis very cold this morning in bed, and I hear there is a good fire in the room without, what do you call it? The dining room. I hope it will be good weather, and so let me rise, sirs, do so. At night. I was this morning to visit the Dean, 5, or Mr. Prolocutor, I think you call him, don't you? Why should not I go to the Dean's as well as you? A little, black man, of pretty near 50? The same. A good, pleasant man? The same. Cunning enough? Yes. One that understands his own interests? As well as anybody. How comes it M.D., and I don't meet there sometimes? A very good face, and abundance of wit? Do you know his lady? Oh Lord! Whom do you mean? 6. I mean Dr. Atterbury, Dean of Carlisle and Prolocutor. Saw, presto, you are a fool. I thought you had meant our Dean of St. Patrick's. Silly, 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 you are silly, both are silly, every kind of thing is silly. As I walked into the city I was stopped with clusters of boys and wenches buzzing about the cake shops like flies. 7. There had the fools let out their shops 2 yards forward into the streets, all spread with great cakes frothed with sugar, and stuck with streamers of tinsel. And then I went to Bateman's the bookseller, and laid out 8.40 for books. I bought 3 little volumes of Lucian in French for our Stella, and so and so. Then I went to Garraway's 8, to meet Stratford and dine with him, but it was an idle day with the merchants, and he was gone to our end of the town. So I dined with Sir Thomas Frankland at the post office, and we drank your Manly's health. It was in a newspaper that he was turned out, but Secretary St. John told me it was false. Only that newswriter is a plaguy Tory. I have not seen one bit of Christmas merriment. 7. Morning. Your new Lord Chancellor, 9, sets out tomorrow for Ireland. I never saw him. He carries over 1 trap, 10, a parson as his chaplain, a sort of pretender to wit, a second-rate pamphleteer for the cause, whom they pay by sending him to Ireland. I never saw trap neither. I met Ty 11 and dear Smith of Lovett's yesterday by the exchange. Ty and I took no notice of each other, but I stopped Smith, and told him of the box that lies for you at Chester, because he says he goes very soon to Ireland, I think this week. And I will send this morning to Stern, to take measures with Smith. So good morrow, sirs, and let me rise, pray. I took up this paper when I came in the evening, I mean this minute, and then said I, no, no, indeed, MD, you must stay, and then was laying it aside, but could not for my heart, though I am very busy, till I just ask you, how you do since morning, by and by we shall talk more, so let me leave you, softly down, little paper, till then, so there now to business, there, I say, get you gone. No, I will not push you neither, but hand you on one side, so now I am got into bed, I'll talk with you. Mr. Secretary St. John sent for me this morning in all haste, but I would not lose my shaving, for fear of missing church. I went to court, which is of late always very full, and young Manly and I dined at Sir Matthew Dudley's. I must talk politics. I protest I am afraid we shall all be embroiled with parties. The Whigs, now they are fallen, are the most malicious toads in the world. We have had now a second misfortune, the loss of several Virginia ships. I fear people will begin to think that nothing thrives under this ministry. And if the ministry can once be rendered odious to the people, the Parliament may be chosen Whig or Tory as the Queen pleases. Then I think our friends press a little too hard on the Duke of Marlborough. The country members, 12, are violent to have passed false inquiry into, and they have reason, but I do not observe the ministry to be very fond of it. In my opinion we have nothing to save us but a peace, and I am sure we cannot have such a one as we hoped, and then the Whigs will bawl what they would have done had they continued in power. I tell the ministry this as much as I dare, and shall venture to say a little more to them, especially about the Duke of Marlborough, who, as the Whigs give out, will lay down his command, and I question whether ever any wise state laid aside a general who had been successful 9 years together, whom the enemy so much dread, and his own soldiers cannot, but believe must always conquer, and you know that in war opinion is 9 parts in 10. The ministry hear me always with appearance of regard, and much kindness, but I doubt they let personal quarrels mingle too much with their proceedings. Meantime, they seem to value all this as nothing, and are as easy and merry, as if they had nothing in their hearts, or upon their shoulders, like physicians, who endeavor to cure, but feel no grief, whatever the patient suffers. Saw, what is all this? Do you know one thing, that I find I can write politics to you much easier than to anybody alive? But I swear my head is full, and I wish I were at Lyricker, with dear, charming M.D., etc. 8. Morning. Methinks, young women, I have made a great progress in 4 days, at the bottom of this side already, and no letter yet come from M.D.
That word interlined this morning.
I find I have been writing state affairs to M.D. How do they relish it? Why, anything that comes from presto is welcome, though really, to confess the truth, if they had their choice, not to disguise the matter, they had rather, etc. Now, presto, I must tell you, you grow silly, says Stella. That is but one body's opinion, madam. I promised to be with Mr. Secretary St. John this morning, but I am lazy, and will not go, because I had a letter from him yesterday, to desire I would dine there today. I shall be chid, but what care I? Here has been Mrs. South with me, just come from Sir Andrew Fountain, and going to market. He is still in a fever, and may live or die. His mother and sister are now come up, and in the house, so there is a lurry.
13.
I gave Mrs. South half a pistol for a New Year's gift. So good morrow, dears both, till anon. At night. Lord. I have been with Mr. Secretary from dinner till late, and, though I drank wine and water, I am so hot. Lady Stanley, 14, came to visit Mrs. St. John, 15, and sent up for me to make up a quarrel with Mrs. St. John, whom I never yet saw, and do you think that devil of a secretary would let me go, but kept me by main force, though I told him I was in love with his lady, and it was a shame to keep back a lover, etc.? But all would not do, so at last I was forced to break away, but never went up, it was then too late, and here I am, and have a great deal to do tonight, though it be 9 o'clock, but one must say something to these naughty MDs, else there will be no quiet. 9. Today Ford and I set apart to go into the city to buy books, but we only had a scurvy dinner at an alehouse, and he made me go to the tavern and drink florins, 4 and 6 pence a flask, damned wine, so I spent my money, which I seldom do, and passed an insipid day, and saw nobody, and it is now 10 o'clock, and I have nothing to say, but that 'tis a fortnight tomorrow, since I had a letter from M.D., but if I have a time enough to answer here, 'tis well enough, otherwise woe bet I do, faith. I will go to the Toyman's, here just in Pall Mall, and he sells great huge spittoons.
16.
Yes, faith, and so he does. Does not he, Dingley? Yes, faith. Don't lose your money this Christmas. 10. I must go this morning to Mr. Secretary St. John. I promised yesterday, but failed, so can't write any more till night to poor, dear M.D. At night. Oh, faith, Dingley. I had company in the morning, and could not go where I designed. And I had a basket from Raymond at Bristol, with 6 bottles of wine and 1 pound of chocolate, and some tobacco to snuff. And he writ under, the carriage was paid. But he lied, or I am cheated, or there is a mistake. And he has written to me so confusedly about some things, that Lucifer could not understand him. This wine is to be drunk with Harley's brother,
17,
and Sir Robert Raymond, Solicitor General, in order to recommend the doctor to your new Lord Chancellor, who left this place on Monday, and Raymond says he is hasting to Chester, to go with him. I suppose he leaves his wife behind, for when he left London he had no thoughts of stirring till summer. So I suppose he will be with you before this. Ford came and desired I would dine with him, because it was opera day, which I did, and sent excuses to Lord Shelburne, who had invited me. 11. I am setting up a new tailor, little Harrison,
18,
whom I have mentioned to you. Others have put him on it, and I encourage him, and he was with me this morning and evening, showing me his first, which comes out on Saturday. I doubt he will not succeed, for I do not much approve his manner, but the scheme is Mr. Secretary St. John's and mine, and would have done well enough in good hands. I recommended him to a printer,
19,
whom I sent for, and settled the matter between them this evening. Harrison has just left me, and I am tired with correcting his trash. 12. I was this morning upon some business with Mr. Secretary St. John, and he made me promise to dine with him, which otherwise I would have done with Mr. Harley, whom I have not been with these 10 days. I cannot but think they have mighty difficulties upon them, yet I always find them as easy and disengaged as schoolboys on a holiday. Harley has the procuring of 5 or 6 millions on his shoulders, and the Whigs will not lend a groat.
20,
which is the only reason of the fall of stocks. For they are like Quakers and fanatics, that will only deal among themselves, while all others deal indifferently with them. Lady Marlborough offers, if they will let her keep her employments, never to come into the Queen's presence. The Whigs say the Duke of Marlborough will serve no more, but I hope and think otherwise. I would to heaven I were this minute with M.D. at Dublin, for I am weary of politics that give me such melancholy prospects. 13. Oh, faith, I had an ugly giddy fit last night in my chamber, and I have got a new box of pills to take, and hope I shall have no more this good while. I would not tell you before, because it would vex you, little rogues, but now it is over. I dined today with Lord Shelburne, and today little Harrison's new tailor came out. There is not much in it, but I hope he will mend. You must understand that, upon Steele's leaving off, there were 2 or 3 scrub tailors,
21,
came out, and one of them holds on still, and today it advertised against Harrison's. And so there must be disputes which are genuine, like the strops for razors.
22,
I am afraid the little toad is not the true vein for it. I will tell you a copy of verses. When Mr. St. John was turned out from being Secretary at War, 3 years ago, he retired to the country. There he was talking of something he would have written over his summer house, and a gentleman gave him these verses, "From business and the noisy world retired, nor vexed by love, nor by ambition fired. Gently I wait the call of Charon's boat, still drinking like a fish, and dash like a stoat." He swore to me he could hardly bear the jest, for he pretended to retire like a philosopher, though he was but 28 years old. And I believe the thing was true, for he had been a thorough rake. I think the three grave lines do introduce the last well enough. Odd so, but I will go sleep. I sleep early now. 14. Oh, faith, young women, I want a letter from M.D. 'Tis now 19 days since I had the last. And where have I room to answer it, pray? I hope I shall send this away without any answer at all, for I'll hasten it, and away it goes on Tuesday, by which time this side will be full. I will send it 2 days sooner on purpose out of spite, and the very next day after, you must know, your letter will come, and then 'tis too late, and I will so laugh, never saw the like. 'Tis spring with us already. I ate asparagus t'other day. Did you ever see such a frostless winter? Sir Andrew Fountain lies still extremely ill. It costs him 10 guineas a day to doctors, surgeons, and apothecaries, and has done so these 3 weeks. I dined today with Mr. Ford. He sometimes chooses to dine at home, and I am content to dine with him. And at night I called at the coffee house, where I had not been in a week, and talked coldly a while with Mr. Addison. All our friendship and dearness are off. We are civil acquaintance, talk words of course, of when we shall meet, and that is all. I have not been at any house with him these 6 weeks. T'other day we were to have dined together at the controller's. 23, but I sent my excuses, being engaged to the Secretary of State. Is not it odd? But I think he has used me ill, and I have used him too well, at least his friend Steele. 15. It has cost me 3 guineas today for a periwig. 24. I am undone. It was made by a Leicester lad, who married Mr. Worrell's daughter, where my mother lodged. 25. So I thought it would be cheap, and especially since he lives in the city. Well, London Lickpenny. 26. I find it true. I have given Harrison hints for another tailor tomorrow. The jackanapes wants a right taste. I doubt he won't do. I dined with my friend Lewis of the secretary's office, and am got home early, because I have much business to do. But before I begin, I must needs say something to M.D. Faith, no, faith, I lie, it is but 19 days today since my last from M.D. I have got Mr. Harley to promise that whatever changes are made in the council, the Bishop of Clare shall not be removed, and he has got a memorial accordingly. I will let the bishop know, so much in a post or two. This is a secret, but I know he has enemies, and they shall not be gratified, if they designed any such thing, which perhaps they might, for some changes there will be made. So drink up your claret, and be quiet, and do not lose your money. 16. Morning. Faith, I will send this letter today to shame you, if I hand one from M.D. before night, that's certain. Won't you grumble for want of the third side, pray now? Yes, I warrant you. Yes, yes, you shall have the third. You shall so, when you can catch it, some other time, when you be writing girls. Oh, faith, I think I won't stay till night, but seal up this just now, and carry it in my pocket, and whip it into the post office as I come home at evening. I am going out early this morning. Patrick spills for Coles and Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.